Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Just pearly thing. This girl, I am just getting updated about her. I didn't know her, although I think I've seen a couple of clips that I've memed a lot on social media about dating turned out to be from her. But I'm not sure. I do remember seeing the words just pearly things, but it's the first podcast I watch from her in full, and she's interesting. She is a conservative thinking female, familiar with the men talking points on dating aspects. Now, Speaker's Corner says she is as based as it gets for a woman podcaster. Yes, that's pretty much it. Now, people were warning me when they saw my title, "This girl is cool." I want to be clear. It's not a full standing by everything she's ever said or done. People were telling me, "Jeff, she's race mixing." We can talk about all this. We can talk about it, and she does seem to be kind of cosmopolitan anyway. So, you know, she talks the talk of conservatism, but I don't know that she walks the walk. I don't know that she lives as a conservative. She has been pursuing success in various fields, including volleyball, which gave her these enormous shoulders that are just a massive red flag that a woman would dedicate her body to physically demanding things. So it's not that she's wife material, but she's still cool in the sense that she seems to have an understanding of the talking points that you throw back at feminist, that you throw back at normie woman, and she does it well. And for that, it's good. It's good. Not that you should marry her. She has way too large shoulders to be married. She is not wife material. But she improves the world, at least having gone through the volleyball treatment. She improves the world with her thoughts. T.S. Apostolos says, "JF, do you know Kevin Samuels? She is a mimetic iteration of him, in my opinion." I don't know Kevin Samuels. I would have to check it out. YouTube gay YouTuber Shane Dawson is having babies with his gay husband through surrogacy implantation of embryos. Holy shit, let's listen to this.
So only two girls. I'm gonna throw up, I'm so scared. And four boys.
Wow.
That's a lot of boys. Wait.
You are enslaving the body of woman, literally. Like, current society is going after men for having one wife and wanting her to be fully happy and fully fulfilled in life and to have as many babies together as you two can. These guys are buying female pussy because the market is such that a gay YouTuber can gather enough money to purchase female uteruses and have doctors implant dozens of embryos in vitro, and you get to choose. You get to choose. Oh, I have two girls, four guys. Oh, I'm going to be able to choose.
Wait, that is funny. I wonder why.
Your sperm made lots of boys.
Wait.
One, two, three. I have four.
Oh, now this guy also has his own babies. They're going to do it in parallel.
Girls.
Four girls and two boys.
So we're opposite. Wow.
Right?
It's so weird, too, because our babies have barcodes. I mean,
I have two girls, you have four, so that's six.
Yes.
I have four boys, you have two, so
six.
That's six.
Yes.
How is that even possible? That now we have six boys and six girls? It's cheaper by the
devil! It's a sign of the devil! That's what it is. 666.
Cousin, baby!
Okay, I'm curious though. I want to talk to our doctor and know, like, okay, of the four boys, which boy do we choose? You know, like.
I don't like playing God.
I don't either. But no, I'm just saying. Like, I wonder if there's, like, the biopsies or the lab results tell them which one.
We have to spin the wheel and we'll put a barcode on each side. Oh.
This is a gay couple joking about eugenics that they're actually engaging in on YouTube. Like, I make a loose joke on YouTube and I'll be banned. These guys are just actually playing the fucking wheel on human life. It's oh, which embryo is gonna win? Is it gonna be one of the two boys or one of the four girls? The rest is going to get ripped to shreds. Maybe they will participate to some fucking scientific research on stem cells. Holy shit. We are in a very sick moment of the universe. And at some point, you gotta ask, do we keep going with humanity or do we just pray for the sun to expand and engulf the earth before any of us can escape? Ariel Suarez says, JF has achieved a higher state of consciousness. What, when I started laughing? I mean, this is grave. This is what we will be faced with. Fortunately, this is going to remain a relatively rare thing, hopefully at first, because it's extremely costly. And so it's not a viable path forward. Compare, you know, the Muslim family, conservative, social conservative, built around let's make as many babies as we can, to this, where 1 out of 1,000 homosexual might have enough money to do this. And ultimately, it's not homosexual reproduction. It's heterosexual reproduction where you divorce from the mother at the moment of birth. That's what it is. And so let's not forget, it's still heterosexuality, and it's a very inefficient way of doing heterosexuality because, well, you have these mothers out there, they are surrogate, they won't be able to deliver care for the babies. It's terrible. It's terrible from a biological perspective, but thankfully, I think that the forces of nature will just naturally fight against this. Go away, says JF. I thought you were a free market libertarian. Well, there are various considerations to take into account here. I am a free market libertarian. That doesn't mean that anything that can be sold on the market, I have to agree with. I'm a free market libertarian, but if you spend your money on gambling, I think you're stupid. I'm a free market libertarian, but I think that if you consume unhealthy products, that's not a good decision for you. And I'm a free market libertarian, but if you buy female uteruses and deprive the child of female care for his education and upbringing, I think, in fact, if you deprive the child of any form of care from the biological parent of the child, I think you are misguided. And I think you're fighting against nature, and nature will bite back. There's a difference between being a free market libertarian and accepting every possible moral actions as moral. Ariel Suarez says, your senses are more keenly attuned to detect any presence of evil, JF. Oh yeah, because I made a reference to the devil. I mean, they're like, ha 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 ha, 666666. It's like 666 as you are playing eugenics with a fucking wheel. You are, and this is what's going to happen. If it was a joke, I would get it. I get jokes. Jokes are okay. You can make super, but the thing is, it's not a joke. You're gonna kill a lot of these embryos. You're playing God already. Lodazol says, JF just read about the film My Year of Dicks, a teen girl awkward attempts to lose her virginity. Shouldn't the first step be marriage? Absolutely. I think we should fix society to keep bad decision-making on the female side of society from hurting civilization anymore. We can leave some decision making, but we have to reinstate contractual law. And right now we have no contractual law. T.S. Apostolos says, what about Pete Buttigieg or Dave Rubin? Well, exactly. it is only the very rich who will have access to this in a very in a reasonable way and frequent enough way for this to evolutionarily matter. And so ultimately it doesn't matter. It's very bad baby making because the child will not have a mother. Simply, and if you were to push this, suppose that this lifestyle becomes a constant thing in society and grows. What will be the characteristics of this evolutionary path of this sub-branch of humanity? Well, they're going to be gayer and gayer on the male side. And they're going to be evolutionarily incentivized on the female side to deliver less and less nutrient to the baby. See, the very fact that mothers are delivering nutrients to their babies, that is something that we take for granted. But in nature, you never have an abandonment of something useful for you to someone else or something else if there's not a massive evolutionary pressure to make it happen. And the massive evolutionary pressure at play here is that the genes of the mother are saying, my food is actually better in those genes because they're more promising than me at this point. It's more promising to have a one-year-old baby than it is to have a 35-year-old female body. You are reverting this whole thing. You are making it so that these females are evolutionarily incentivized to drop as little nutrient as possible to their babies and to completely be incapable of delivering parental service during their life because it doesn't matter anymore. You're not selecting females for good motherhood anymore if you do this. That is dramatic. That is grave. We are reverting things that we don't even understand the full tree of consequences that will stem from this. And let me tell you, in evolution, the consequences are probably bigger than you can possibly imagine. Cloud Warmer sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, you know, the 8 values political compass test. After reading TRP, I now see a number of questions there that many people would say, yes, of course, let's advance genetic engineering and intercepting the process for the benefit of mankind. But now my answer is strongly disagree. I'm happy because, yes, that is the effect of TRP. That is the effect of reading, or even for me, writing TRP has led me to be fully anarcho-primitivist pilled. And I would never have been that without it. So it's really great. And I think this book will have value increasing as we go into the future. In fact, the whole adventure of memetics that we've done around Brett Weinstein has led to one of the best months of sales. The last 30 days have been awesome. So somehow it works to throw memes out there, attract attention toward the book. We get new readers. We get people who are not necessarily listening to this show, but they hear about me from Twitter. They visit my Twitter profile and they see the book and they want to read it. John Drake says, there are no half measures with going down the road to TRP. Yes, when you go TRP, you go... what is the saying? Oh yeah, you can't go back. When you go TRP, you can't go back. All right, so excellent podcast featuring Nick Ferrantes with Just Pearly Things. And apparently she is a rising star. She started her podcast only 1 year ago. And she's been hosting these conversations about men and women. She is pretty based from a social conservative standpoint. You know, she makes arguments that are along the lines of PUA's men's rights activist, although it comes from a woman, so it's extremely diluted, as you could guess. But she understands the dynamics of, look, women misunderstand in the modern world what is value. they think that value is accomplishment and a career. You don't understand that this is actually a red flag. And she understands that her volleyball career and her podcast could potentially be a red flag for men. That is, you know, you have to give her credit. There are not many women who understand this. And she does. That's beautiful to see. Here she has one of the guests speaking, and there's four females. We can analyze a little bit what they say. We can't watch the whole thing. It's 2 hours, 15 minutes. But
it's like so fundamentally, like if you're a parent and you're trying to instill your worldview in your kids, you want the best for them because they're your kid. You want them to be happy.
In an ideal
you genuinely
scenario.
Want. Okay, ideally, yeah. Right? I mean, I think that applies to 99.99% of parents, right? There's a minority that maybe dickheads. Okay, yeah. I'll concede that there's some dickheads.
Yeah. Oh.
So so let me present you the combination of woman we have here. This girl is pretty interesting. She is an African woman who lives in England. She identifies as African. She has a stable husband, and she's dedicated to her family life. She has put her child first, and although she seems to have other things going on the internet, she is a child first and marriage first, and she believes in her man, and she loves him. This girl is more in her 20s and going the path of this girl, basically, that is trying to be accomplished in a career before any thinking around family. So I believe that she says at some point that she's studying genetics or something like this. So she wants to have a job. This girl is around her 30s. She's in her 30s. And she is starting to realize that she is kind of Indian, I believe. She is starting to realize that she's due to have kids. And she wants to be more serious about the next guy she meets. She wants to be more like, hey, what do you plan to do within the next 4 years? Because I'd like to have a baby. So she's a latecomer to the, oh my God, I'm becoming too old. I have to have babies. But she hasn't invested her best moments of life to doing it. She complains a lot about the guys, but at the same time, the host is telling her, well, did you work for this? Like when you were in your 20s, when you were a reproductive trophy to be obtained, did you try to look for that kind of guy? And so that she has the problem that she has caused in her own life. And this girl is so fascinating. She's the most wrong in this whole panel, basically. She is the 34-year-old well-traveled. You can't make this up. At some point, she says well-traveled in this podcast, and holy shit, is that a red flag. And you have the other guy and Nick Fuentes telling her, no, that's a red flag. Well-traveled is not an advantage. She is a kind of hippie 34-year-old who is now getting a boyfriend because she wants to get started making babies. And now when she dates, she starts asking about baby making within the first, at the second date, you know, because she's pressed against time. A kind of Instagram woman who has used her body to be well-traveled. Because traveling costs something, right? Someone's got to pay for all this traveling. And so now she's 34-year-old and pressed against the time. And she's now to the point of asking on a second date, look, I want to have babies. And she's ashamed of it. She's ashamed that, oh, why is that not when I was young? Why is that not like when I was young, where I could take my time? It feels awkward to be coming with these subjects. But she has no other choice. She as the host points to her, You have 1 year left before you are in a geriatric pregnancy. That's a medical term, geriatric pregnancy. Now, you may be beautiful because you fake it well. It seems, based on her face, I would say there's a good chance she's had face surgery. I mean, she's like, oh, well, you know, I think there's all sorts of couples in life. I think it's all about love. It's like, holy shit, woman. Are the elastics still there pulling on your muscle below your skin? Anyways, she is the most pathetic of them all, yet the most beautiful. It's fascinating. I mean, she still looks extremely beautiful, but when you know the facts, when you know that below the makeup hides a 34-year-old woman, it's pretty late to start dating with baby making in mind.
But I think the majority of parents want the best for their kid. They want to be fulfilled in life and have happy life. However, when you put that child under the influence of the state or whoever else, they have an agenda. And they don't have the best interests of that child at heart. They have their own interests at heart. So they're going to try and manipulate. They're going to try and manipulate and adjust that child to follow a certain agenda, which is beneficial to them in the long run. Mm-hmm. And they do it en masse in the form of public schooling.
Yeah, I was going to say. Exactly. So once you have your children go to like a public
school. Oh, hell no. My kids are getting homeschooled. Yeah. Oh, wow. All 20 of them homeschooled.
All 20?
What's the agenda? I don't understand what the agenda is.
Well, everything. Feminism.
She doesn't understand that if you give your child to the state, there's an agenda. They give plenty of examples in the podcast. Liberal brainwashing. Your child comes back from school, has been horizontally influenced by, instead of learning from the past, from traditions that survive intergenerationally, they have been set on a program of their peers. There are many things in current society that are taking up into the new generations that were never seeded by the parents. Only the preliminaries to these beliefs have been seeded by boomers through liberalism. But when a child comes back from school and talks about the gender non-binary, and maybe I'm a girl, maybe I'm a guy, and they're not a girl or they're not a guy, someone has put that agenda into their head. Purple Tuna says, geriatric pregnancy starts at 36. That's awesome that it's called that harsh term that early. I'm surely going to use that on women to make them feel anxious and depressed about being 30 and not yet having children. Oh yeah, among the legitimate medical terms that kind of just the term itself is intrinsically based, geriatric pregnancy is one of the most beautiful invention. You know, of all the things that the left has pursued in terms of semantic fights, this one, they never led it. And that's so interesting when you think about it, because the left has a taboo at making women feel bad for their choices. And the left, although they are anti-family ultimately, they don't like saying it out loud. They don't like admitting it to themselves. And so they have to understand through their harm-based morality, they have to accept that, oh yeah, since I'm open to all sorts of suffering, I also have to empathize with the suffering of a 34-year-old woman who realizes she only has 1 year left to do a baby without Down syndrome risks.
It was one of the big agendas we're looking at. Everything that she just talked about with her sister.
If they can control, if the government can have influence over your children, they
now see this woman is perfect, but this is what happens when you have a sports career. You can see that she has grown massive shoulders. You can see the jawline here. I mean, she's been working out. Extremely damaging to a female body to be performing at high level in sports. Jeff, your voice sounds very metallic, too much. I don't hear it. Hello? I don't feel metallic at all. I think you may have sound issues on your side. Some people, sometimes they come to me with criticism. Let me tell you, I monitor and I rewatch the show. I don't know what you're talking about. This is excellent sound. This is top 1%. I don't want to brag. Maybe it's top 5%, okay? Because people are getting good. People are getting good in the podcasting industry out there. This is good sound.
They have more power.
Yeah.
100%.
Because the children are the future. They can influence elections. Yeah. They can influence public policy. They can influence financial decisions. They can influence everything. I mean, Nick might be able to talk about this more than I can.
Yeah. Well, it's not, but it's not just about a political agenda.
It's about the immigrants, right?
Well, that's part of it. Well, here. Because I think it's a very simple axiom that mothers should raise their babies. You know, we all have mothers. We all came from mothers.
Absolutely, and there's a biological reason for it. Bonham Bonham says, Jeff, not so long ago, you suggested a lifestyle for women that would revolve around sequentially giving birth. Would that involve keeping making babies past 36, thereby giving a chance to different kinds of baby? It's the choice of, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've heard the story from boomer people. They were telling me that, and boomers, you know, they tell themselves fake stories sometimes about the past just to justify their liberalism. So I don't even know if that's true. But what I know is I don't know if it's true, but I know it's based. There was a moment in as reported by the boomer, there was a moment in the female's life during the marriage where the man would go to the doctor and say, all right, her reproductive career is over, doctor, chop her fallopian tubes, let's stop it there. And I think that's totally fine. When you attain somewhere between 35 and 40, there's a point at which the risks are very high that you will get a Down syndrome child. With a genetic disorder. And so I think it's totally fine to stop your reproductive career. It's important to have your reproductive career, make it happen before that time so that when that time happens, it doesn't break your heart to have to chop your fallopian tubes or to do the squeezing of the testicle tube for men. I think it's totally fine. I'm not for stubbornly pursuing reproduction against nature. Clearly, nature gave us a range, and that range is from 18 years old for females, 35. Let's use that range wisely and then not fight against nature after that. Anyways, if you spend between 18 years old and 35 years old making the maximum number of babies you can, you got some other things on your hands than having a 16th wand, right? It's not going to change much having a 16th baby.
And it's a mother's role not just to have the baby, but to nurture the baby, take care of the baby. It's actually very important for a child's development, specifically in the first 3 months that they're with the parent. Mm-hmm. And I'm Catholic, just full disclosure, the only moral way to have sex is within marriage and without contraceptives. So really, women should be, they should be popping these kids out one after the other. If you're popping these kids out and you're with them,
you'll be occupied.
Oh, yeah. And you're with them for the first 3 years or 4 years, whatever. You know, a mother, that really should be their full-time job, is making their food and tucking them into bed and all that. And it's so, I agree, you're totally right about education and putting them in daycare or government schools. But I look at the epidemic of people today who are
People are asking whether Nick Fuentes' extrovertedness puts him on the extrovert to gay pipeline. You can see some hand movements that are kind of gay. And I think that Fuentes is probably not gay. If he's gay inside, there's probably little chance that he would allow himself this this violation of God's will and his conception of the world. But you can see that he's on the spectrum, definitely.
messed up in the head. Low self-esteem, you know, they got mommy issues, daddy issues. It's because mom wasn't home. It's because dad wasn't home. Yeah. They literally didn't get enough love as a child. Now they seek validation through dating, sex, romance, which really, you know, that I don't think that's actually the healthiest thing. So the other thing, the immigrant thing, which you know, which you hit me back on that. Here's the thing. You put them in daycare. Who's going to be raising these kids? That's a real question. It's going to be these like low income people who are usually the immigrants, or it's going to be other types. And if you look at like retirement homes, if you look at daycares, there's some raunchy stuff that goes on.
Is right. It's going to be low quality people who are not evolutionarily incentivized or selected to be good at what they do. So we have not evolved to care for the babies of others. That doesn't mean we can't make an okay job under camera surveillance, maybe, but it's just going to be at best okay. There is no need for someone in any of these jobs to be stellar. Sinus says, I disagree, JF. These memes come from the black and other non-white influenced media. What kind of the end movement stuff? Well, I've not been influenced by a meme here. I have simply observed the gayness of the hand movement of Nick Fuentes, and I qualify it as gay. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just another way to live, you know? Let's be welcoming and respectful here.
What's on in there? You look at like daycares where these old white ladies are getting thrown around by these black daycare workers or retirement home workers. There's a lot that happens.
Yeah, but it's not a race. It's not a race issue. I don't think it's just purely image.
Well, the problem is, and Nick Fuentes is going to have a good interaction with this girl here. I'm not going to play it because it gets very long and annoying, but ultimately this girl acknowledges what Nick Fuentes is saying. Because she understands that as an African mother to an African child, that she's in the UK, she understands that a lot of the things that she would want as part of her African care for her African child is not going to be given by white people in the UK. Like certain types of food that she would like to use, she doesn't expect it at the school for her child because she understands that she's in another country. And they're going to go according to their own traditions. So from her experience as a black woman, she gets to understand what Nick is talking about here. And Nick says, ultimately, it's about the fact that we're not family. This simple fact of our genetic distance makes us behave differently. We have not evolved to care for anyone who shows up in front of us equally. And we're not going to be as good to care, even if we did care. And that is absolutely correct. I appreciate Nick Fuentes' intervention here. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, JF, will you cover the Just Pearly thing one-on-one interview with Nick? There are some moments of retail pharmacy levels of red pill dispensary. You know you are the best at reviewing interviews and breaking it down for the audience. I started watching the other, but I didn't watch it in full. If I watch it, I will watch it in full tonight. And if there's stuff to talk about, I'll comment on it tomorrow. But let me tell you that I've seen a clip of it, and I won't be able to feature this interview on the show. I won't be able to play certain segments because there are things that are just illegal to say in Canada. And isn't that fascinating? Because Nick Fuentes, you know, at some point was throwing arrows at me for being not optical. And the not opticalness of my show was the fact that I was talking with David Duke. Isn't it fascinating that Nick Fuentes is out there violating Canadian laws at this point? I've never violated Canadian laws. I've never said the things that he's saying on this interview. But how is that not worse than talking to David Duke Nick Fuentes denying certain aspects of an important historical event on this show. So I won't be able to play it, but I can talk about it. I can tell you my stances on the interview itself and how it went once I'm fully done watching it.
I lost basically most of my friends because of that decision. So I had to choose between being a committee.
So she's talking about dedicating her life to motherhood and losing a lot of friendship. So in her case, she was going to the university, having a job and having a baby. She thought she could do it all, but eventually had to leave the job and concentrate on the baby.
Did a 19-year-old wife material or be a young 19-year-old girl and going out. Basically, the week that I met my son's dad, guy that I'm speaking about. That week, I just came back from like a vacation with like a guy that obviously I met, we were seeing each other and stuff. So that week I met my son's dad.
Cloud Warmer says, JF, how ironic. One of the talking points of that one-on-one is, do we really live in a free speech democracy or not? And the answer was maybe not. But we definitely don't. We definitely don't. That is both true of Canada in its own way, in its own legal way. And then in the US, you have cancel culture, you have corporate censorship, that kind of stuff. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you don't see the dollar button, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below.
Who?
They don't get the woman they want. They get the woman they can get.
So this guy said a very true thing about men. Men in the current dating scene are just scoring what they can score. They don't have the luxury of choice. And that's an evolutionary reality probably forever for men. That's why they will take any female that settles for them. That's why you see like super ugly females, super fat females sometimes with a relatively thin guy, and the guy seems okay, and you're like, what the fuck is happening here? Well, what's happening is guys have to settle for whoever they will get according to their social status.
I don't know what you're basing that.
Talk to any man honestly behind closed doors.
So this woman is not aware of this. This woman is so living in the space of deception because she's only interacting with men who want to fuck her. But this woman wouldn't ever consider dating a poor guy or an ugly guy. So in a way, she's totally isolated from their reality and she can enjoy living in her fiction. Why? I mean, people meet each other. People just get to know each other. Everything can happen. No, not everything can happen. You know why? And this guy tells them to their face at some point. He says, would you date a guy who makes 60K? Would you date a guy below 5'5"? And they're like, no. Well, most guys are like this. Most guys are guys you wouldn't even talk to.
Yeah, but they're going to lie to you because you're a woman. They're going to lie to you.
Aquanote is saying, Jeff, I'm trying to actively reduce my misogyny and this podcast isn't helping. You should have other priorities.
One out of three men are either virgins or haven't had sex in the past year under 30. One out of three.
Yeah.
Do you think one out of three women are sexless?
No, definitely.
Yeah. The guys would pray. I wish.
We need to wake up. I feel like we need to wake up. Even though some of these information might not sound the way we want to hear it, sometimes it's actually reality.
No, like, it's like it's,
when
again,
I first hear it sometimes.
If you go back to stats or, you know, and I do. And I think with us women, sometimes we pursue what we want, and
we
most
forget,
times
yeah.
out of 10, we're going to get what we want because
yeah.
it's us. But with a man, unless you do, and I'm just speaking generally,
yeah.
unless you do have a nice job and you're attractive to whatever degree society says is attractive, and you have this, then
I love that these women are all very much aware that attractive is a thing. It's an objective thing. Like you show a face to a woman, they will rate it as attractive or not attractive. Most women will agree. There won't be massive disagreement. But every time they say the word attractive, they have to say, or whatever society defines as attractive. It's not society. It's the objective truth. You just are giving yourself excuse so that you are not the one bringing this objective point into the conversation. You don't want to be seen as the girl who brings the question of attraction, and that's a real thing. These girls are lying to themselves and lying to the audience. Why not be frank about it? Attraction is a thing. It's not socially defined, and it's going to keep being a thing because you all feel it. You wouldn't date an ugly guy with not lots of money.
They're not.
Even something as silly as this, I always think about this. If like a female wanted to go out tonight and find someone to sleep with, it's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
I don't want to say I, but if I wanted to walk out tonight,
some other woman,
it's going to be done. But when it's a man, I'm thinking about it. No, because the way we are.
See, this girl is the most interesting of them all. She understands the asymmetry of instant sex being available to any woman, really. Literally, any woman can just go alone at a bar tonight. Will have infinite amounts of sex possible.
As women, we're very entitled.
I don't know.
You need
I've
to take me out
chat.
On a date. You need to. No. I'm just thinking of generally. I'm just thinking you need to take a female out on. First of all, approach her nicely, look good, look the part. Take her out on a date. Have somewhere to take her because obviously you can't take her to her house because that's very bummy. You need to have your own place. You can't take me to your mom's house. It takes.
Exactly. You need so much to even be a candidate as a male. I mean, it's unbelievable. You need to basically be already set up for the reproductive lifestyle with a nest prepared before anything is going to happen. And if you can get some of the extras, like a demonstration of high wealth, like a big car or whatever is popular, whatever will make you look rich, in that particular class of woman in which you're targeting, it's going to be very useful to you.
So look, before he gets his penis wet, but when it comes,
we're gonna
to
get that dick wet.
I mean, we could yeah. even we could set up an account. Yeah. We could set up a Tinder account with the girls on the show.
we could set
one up for the girls and one for the guys and see who's
see how
more.
Quick. Yeah. Did you guys? It's just reality. When you take time to think about things that are outside, like that things that are not affecting you, you start to think. What's actually
it's true.
To you or not.
This girl is as close as it gets to actual empathy for males.
But you got to remember, you're looking at pockets of types of people in a demographic. Mm-hmm. So I always like to say the types.
So interesting that this girl who had so much to say about Nick's comments on immigrants is like, let's not forget that we're looking at pockets of people in demographics. They are expected to behave in a certain way. Are you as racist as Nick Fuentes?
To people that go to Oceania. Okay, the types of people that go to Oceania.
When we're having general conversations, we can't talk about every
exception. Yeah, everywhere.
So yeah, okay. There are certain pockets. Yeah. You know, I was on No Jumper. I don't know if you guys know No Jumper. That was a wild pocket of people.
How'd you
go? There,
what's that?
House, it's run by a corn star. Like two corns, so they do like OF, yeah.
This is the one I heard you
good
on.
People.
Yeah. I mean, they're just wild and on that. And, you know, maybe the guy's there because certainly not you, but some corn stars seem to be more forgiving guys with because they date each other or whatever.
Do you know what? Yeah. This is the podcast I listened to you on, and I thought, what a beautiful.
All right. So, No Jumper, an excellent podcast. I've been reviewing some stuff from this. And in fact, I think I saw her face on on some thumbnail, but I don't think I watched the episode.
But that's what I'm saying.
I guarantee the women aren't doing like
everyone
the plumbing of the sewage and stuff like that.
No,
so, so what I'm saying is that these are in patriarchal countries.
Yeah, so there's subcultures within.
So this girl brought the idea that there were many societies that were matriarchal, and it basically refers to a sub-society that exists within China. And the host was pointing to her, well, okay, that's a group of, that's a commune of females who may have built a local matriarchy, but in a country that otherwise works on patriarchy. That's why their system is maintainable. And look at the profile of the face, my friend. Holy shit. This is what I mean by stretched. This is stretched as much as it can. I mean, at some point you have a trade-off when you stretch that much. It's that at some point you look like you smoke drugs or something. Because you can stretch so much, but you can't stretch the little piece of skin here that's on the eyeball. And so the more you stretch the forehead to keep the traces of aging from being seen, the more your eyes look like they're droopy. And she has attained the peak of this. This is peak facial surgery. It doesn't get stretchier than this. Stretchier than this, you look like an extraterrestrial.
Pills, right? Mm. He wants a virgin. How many girls are virgins?
Mm. I don't think
so you,
the majority,
you could qualify.
Though.
What?
I don't think they're the majority. Like, I don't think the majority of men are traditional men. If you look at it, like, yeah. The actual...
Well, men have been stuck in a very bad... unnatural moment of civilization. And unfortunately, given the current behavior of women in current legal context, it's not super interesting for a male to be traditional. I mean, if you do find a woman who's willing to live a family life, you should veer traditional instantly, and many will. But unfortunately, in the current state of the game, what they can do, the best they can do is try to get some sex here and there, try to catch a woman who's in her 30s and pressed against time, ends up making an emotional decision and finally having a baby. That's the only game to play currently.
Populous, right? We're not going to have that many men that didn't also come from a broken home. Because a lot of marriages ended in divorce, right? Mm-hmm. So as much as women are also being raised in a certain type of way, so were the guys. So we're just kind of fucking struggling along, man. It's already difficult enough.
And do you know what?
I agree that not all men were raised to be traditional men too. Yeah. But I'm saying if we are going to demand traditional outcomes, you should have the skills to have a traditional outcome.
Can I ask a quick question? Can I ask if any of us want just solely traditional men and for us to have the outcome of just being a mum and a wife?
This girl describing her ideal man was describing a man who would travel with her and have amazing subjective experiences with her.
Are you
I honestly do not mind.
I'm just asking.
I'll be honest with you. I'll say whatever I need to say. Yeah. I would prefer that. If my man obviously can provide for us, why would I need to? I'd love to be a stay-at-home mom.
I want someone that I can connect with. I don't want somebody to just throw money at me.
Connect with. You are 34. You haven't had the chance to connect up to now. At some point, you got to ask yourself, Is it the great measure to live your life by this connection?
The current situation that we're in, and obviously living in a Western world as well. Me being an African woman, living in a Western world, of course, I'm not being a traditional woman, but I'd love to be. Because my son's dad, he's an African man too, and I'm happy I chose an African man because he knows his traditional ways. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for me and my son, so that's what would make me be naturally more submissive. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think this problem is more Westernized, and it's just I've just been dumped in a Western world where I'm in the middle of it. So I can actually choose. So when you guys are talking, I'm seeing it from my point of view and you guys' point of view too. So that's why even when I'm talking, it might look like I'm swinging here. I'm just trying to make sense. Of it, of put myself in it and outside the box at the same time, but 100%.
Sterling, what were you going
to
say?
I forgot what I was going to say for that one. To answer your original question, like, would I let a would I want a nanny to help out my, you know, my baby mama or whatever with the kids? It takes a village to raise a child. And I think if we
this guy sounded great throughout this podcast, but this fucking leftist meme that it takes a village to raise a child, fuck this shit. So dangerous to say in the current state of the cultural war. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a family to raise a child. If you have an extended family, that is great, but it's not needed.
You look back on like our parents' generation. It wasn't just our mothers raising us. It was our mother with help from her sister or help from her mother or her like your aunties and all this stuff. Like, if so, the babysitter should be, like the nanny should be
your
a family.
Grandmother.
And it's part of the extended family.
I get that this follow-up makes sense, but never use this term, it takes a village to raise a child, because the leftists are taking this to extremes. You don't want to be misunderstood on this one.
Family.
Yeah.
So in that context, it's totally fine to have a nanny, because you've got your family.
Neberius says, it takes a village to raise a child is the operative assumption of the state and CPS. Exactly, where this guy seemed to be properly aware of the dangers of the state, but he seems to be ignorant of this this meme of the left that is becoming very dangerous.
Family to help you out, but right now we're so disconnected from family now in the Western world, especially that we don't have that support network
that's
anymore, and that's where the problem comes from.
Yeah,
John Garas says, "What kind of village? If it's a village like the village I've been raised in, the." There were streets of the village that had the name of my uncles. If it's a village like this, okay. But it's not what the leftists mean when they use those terms. It's definitely not a village where one street is named one of your uncle's name, and then the other street is named another one of your uncle's name. That is not the village that most people have and think about when they say that.
But I really feel like we're failing to understand that in modern day society, not every woman has, I'm sure majority of women would prefer, if they have children, to be at home and raise their kids. I don't think we all have that automatic privilege.
Option,
right? We don't have that option.
Why do you think that? Why wouldn't they have that option?
Because the finances.
Okay, cool. I agree. But why do you? But why do you? I'm going to. Go back to the point. Why do you think that the cost of living has gone up?
I don't know. You're going to tell me.
I will tell. Here's one possible.
Let me tell you why the cost of living
why the cost
has
of
gone up.
Living has gone up. Women coming into the workforce.
I just want to wait for the right screenshot. This is why the cost of living has went up. Do you know how much it costs to get a woman to look like this? I mean, this is high price care for the hair. I price makeup, and she still just looks okay. Eyelash costs. You women have gone to the workplace to finance your deception of men, to finance just maintaining your looks as if you were younger than you truly are.
It's the cause of the problem that you're mentioning. I'm just telling you that's one of the causes of it.
Right, and so would the ideal.
So if you want to, undo that, then women going back into the home would cause a correction in the cost of living.
Then we'd lose a large proportion of the workforce,
and also women in
STEM. Exactly.
We would have to lose a large proportion of the workforce. Yeah, and let me tell you, the world would keep working. Look at Twitter. Twitter is the model for the rest of civilization. 75% of the workforce chopped out. A lot of women on their couches. A lot of women who were logging in the morning, getting their little Starbucks coffee, sipping Starbucks coffee while typing on a screen. And is Twitter affected negatively by this massive loss of workforce? No, it's working better than it ever did.
We've got women
exactly.
In science.
No,
there's not a single bridge that will fall the day you fire a woman from their job. Not a single bridge will fall. Not a single skyscraper will be improperly built. It's literally just going as it used to, just like Twitter.
Personally, I have a genetics master's degree, and I'm going to go and do a PhD in the next couple of years. So, I'm just
providing you with the solution to the problem you're mentioning.
No, but the solution is that doesn't make any sense. That I don't think that. Why would you now remove individuals that are contributing to society to further ahead?
This is a delusion. You are included in the workforce for purposes of protecting corporations from massive lawsuits against discrimination. You are an umbrella against a threat that you yourself are, which is women potentially suing corporations for not hiring them. And so they are giving you the delusion that your work is necessary to society. Society has been operating 100 years ago and before, society has been fully operating with minimal contribution from women who could at points in their life, constitute a workforce that was dynamic, that could be put to jobs that perhaps we didn't have enough people for, but largely unsupported by women. Has society been successful at driving forward and creating the entire capitalist system that you see around you, including the one that produces your makeup, which you pay for? People were making a list of just how much money there is on this face and on these hair. It's probably more than I make. Just the amount of makeup here and hair care and dress is probably more than I can make in a month as a popular author. Go away, says JF. I depend on the services of working women in my area. Without them, I would fall into a deep depression due to lack of physical intimacy. That's prostitution. That's a different thing. We're not talking about stopping prostitution. We're talking about we're talking about you getting more prostitutes, if anything. Dino Logovic sends a super chat. He says, but how will we pay for all the nail artists? How will we support the industry? Well, maybe it's time for this industry to go.
Because How much do women really contribute? Can we just...
And this girl knows. It's like, it's not necessary. There are societies that have existed that didn't have any or close to zero work contribution, employment contribution from women.
No, I mean,
we need the stats, please. I mean, we need the stats because I need to know which side.
What percent of women did you say were on welfare?
It's like 90%. 90% are on some form of assistance.
It's not like we're building bridges.
And is that women with children or without children? Because I need to know the stats before I know exactly what I'm talking about.
So it's about 30% of women who've got kids are on welfare at the moment, but that's not
natural. Women get these cushy jobs. Women get
kids. Kids.
It's not choice.
Having boys, having a mother.
Which is a bad thing, because it used to be that the welfare that was available readily for a woman was what her husband could support her with. And that was the centerpiece of a mechanism of civilization and of sexual evolution. It incentivized women at having to find quality males. And when they were betting for a young male, let's say he's 25, and when they were deciding to marry a 25-year-old male, they had to pay the price their whole life if they got it wrong. And that incentivized, all right, I need to find a male who is genius enough, who I can trust will, against any form of changes of society and veering in the markets and all sorts of disruption, a disruptive world. I have to find the man who will surf above it all and who will at least always have the minimum to keep me alive. When the state gives welfare to these women, it completely destroys this incentive. And suddenly women are like, he's trying to play saxophone. He's not super good, but yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? No, it's not cool.
Mother having male children is their contribution, because Mozart has all to right, be born.
Calm down, Tommy.
Oh my God, he's
dying. Wow, Jesus Christ! I gotta ask because you've got a podcast, you're doing this, you're mm-hmm. achieving your dreams and mm-hmm. chasing your career. Mm-hmm. The boys are talking about the fact that they don't want women to work, but you wouldn't have this happiness.
It would probably be a red flag to certain guys.
Absolutely, red flag. Shoulders, podcaster, relaxed belly, which has not been producing children, pants that are extremely large, which hide the features of the proper baby-making signals that one can extract from ass and hips. This woman is filled with red flags. I can't believe that I have titled "This Girl is Cool" without paying attention to this grave aspect. Yes. There are many red flags popping from this woman.
They get intimidated.
I wouldn't say intimidated.
It's not intimidation.
I just don't think it's useful.
No, certain guys is intimidating.
It's not intimidating.
Okay, wait. It's not useful to them. My podcast is like a...
Now, she understands that everything you do there is extra. You would have been more attractive as a virgin female who had done no podcasting at all.
Hobby to me. It's fun. I enjoy it. But it's not the end-all, be-all.
Imagine if one of these boys came in and said, you're not allowed to do it ever, and you weren't allowed to do it from the get-go, or volleyball, because you have...
And this girl brings her feminism. What if you couldn't do this podcasting, or you couldn't do this volleyball? Oh my God, would that be dramatic?
To stay at home. Mm-hmm. That's two of you.
By the way, most people in the history of human civilization had no opportunity at all to be a podcaster. Zero chance.
Like major things that have brought, like I've heard you talk before. Mm-hmm. You talk so passionately mm-hmm. about it.
No, I mean, I so love there. It's fun. I love it. But at the end of the day, it's about your family before you.
I mean, and for the right guy, she probably would.
Where's the right guy? Where are they?
She probably would. I mean, honestly, it's not
this annoying. Females are so annoying with this one. Where's the right guy? I don't see them. It's because you have unrealistic standards. I mean, think about this girl. 34-year-old probably requires basically $1 million a year to just maintain. This girl costs $1 million a year. You could buy a Lamborghini for cheaper. And what is she going to do? She's going to want a kid at 34. The time that you will have to connect with her and start doing your traveling experiences at enormous cost to yourself will at best reward you with a single baby. I mean, she is the worst choice on this couch. Mengele says Lambos are 250K. You can have 4 Lambos, or you can have this girl for a year. That's the choice. 4 Lambos. Do you know how many women you can get with 4 Lambos?
A case of
and them.
these conversations are always kind of put in the context, trying to put in this context of like the man forcing the woman to do something, and like you can't do this and you can't do that. It should be a natural decision. Yeah. Like, hey, baby, I want to look after you. Like, I want you to take care of our kids.
Yeah,
I've got it. Don't worry.
But darling,
relax.
There's not that many.
I'll take care of it. Like that many women or men.
There's not that many men who are financially capable of doing that.
Again, we go back to the point I was making before. Why do you think cost of living is
going up? Just keeps going around.
But that's
and
the
around.
Situation we're in. We're not in an idealist world.
But also, like I said, I also said this earlier. There's a lot of Muslim families in this very country that get by on the minimum wage with a lot of kids, and it's a one income household. They, like Pearl said, the women are perfectly happy to reduce their, what was the phrase used there? Like
life.
This guy knows. The Muslim family is the model. They're not rich. They can deal with extreme poverty if needed. And they will produce a lot of babies. So it's not impossible. It's in fact very easy. All you have to do is not ask for international traveling, super costly makeup and facial surgeries and that kind of stuff, and accept to be living a simple life. That's all you need. And you're going to get babies no matter what's your level in society and amount of money you got. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, why would I risk millions on a 34-year-old when I could have a 20-year-old? This is the question that none of these women will acknowledge. Where are they? You rejected them in your 20s. Exactly. I'm absolutely certain that many of these women have been rejecting many possible connections with men throughout their 20s. Under all sorts of excuses, I'm not ready, I wouldn't want, blah, 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 you're not my type of guy, oh, you don't make, you don't have enough of this, enough of that. So when they ask, where are they after a decade rejecting them, when they are in their prime, that is so insulting to me. Anyways, that is it for my review of the Just Barely Think podcast. Great, I'm discovering a great woman in this Just Barely Think. Of course, she's a woman, so it's not like you want to throw yourself, oh, she's the best influencer and she's going to be right on everything. No, she remains a woman, will always be a woman. But for the woman category, let's say we do what Olympics don't do anymore, which is let's make a woman's category for the sports of podcasting. I find it pretty interesting. Steven Robinson says, JF, have you watched the Fresh and Fit podcast? This man has been on many times. Fresh and Fit were the first to put on a panel of women and show them to be ignorant of the male experience and to show them the delusion of feminism. I'm kind of annoyed at the Fresh and Fit guys. They have this kind of 5 cents PUA aspect to them. It's like it's a little too cheap in terms of a worldview. And ultimately, the PUA, being a specialized PUA, pickup artist, I don't take any issue with this. There are some great people in this history, like Rouge V. They were intellectuals, and they just specialized in talking about a subset of things, which is the dating world. But you can see that they were larger than this. Fresh and Fit, I cannot see them any larger than this. I don't think they have a relevant thing to say outside of this world. And when you specialized as a PUA that way, it's so sad because you're so interested in counseling young men about the game that you end up accepting the game as it is rather than ask the important question. The one thing that we should extract from the PUA world is, how did we get to a messed up situation like this? How was it not messed up before? And how do we fix it so that it becomes like before? The problem of the Fresh and Fit guys is they will tell you things like, well, understand that women are dating opportunistically. You as a man like loyalty and that kind of stuff, but women are, they love opportunistically, whereas men love loyally. That is the truth. And so thank you for stating it. But it leaves something to want here. How do we fix women so that they don't love opportunistically? Because they're wrecking all of society with this opportunistic love. And so when they casually throw these observations about women and ask men to settle for this, to accept this rather than be on the path of political change so that this casualness of women's handling of the dating world is no more. They are unfortunately so embedded in the game that they end up being the victim of it. And they end up encouraging men to be victimized by it. If you notice that there is an asymmetry between men's loyalty and woman's opportunisticness, you need to have a solution for it. That solution is no social welfare, marriage, and marriage forever and for better or worse. That is something that fixes woman's opportunistic decision-making. Go away, says JF. Why would you want to change the rules of the game when you have learned how to win? well, the wins that the fresh and fit people propose is a win of successfully picking up a girl in Miami. Like, if that's your win, you're going to end up with syphilis, my friend. Cloud Warmer says, I got standards, bro. Jeff, have you tried this website? It inputs your stats as a male, desired by woman, and you can see your relative percentage in society. Most women, once confront with what they want, are chasing the absolute 1% of one of the 1%, when they are in fact just average at best. I got standards, bro. Female delusion calculator. Oh my god, is that funny? What are the chances to find the man of my dreams? Live search using surveys conducted by U.S. Census Bureau. Okay, so let's answer as if we were this girl. Okay, I am 34. Oh, we have to. Okay, we're not answering that she's 34. We're answering what kind of guy she would want. Well, she would want a guy between 34 and 40. Of course, we don't want the guy to be married. She would want a white guy, although she wouldn't say it. We don't want obese, of course. We want a guy who's taller than her. So we want a 6'4" guy. 80K, they have said during this podcast, they have said 80K is a little low. They said they would settle for 100K, but let me tell you, they had to pull it from their tongue. They were like, but would you settle for 100K? And they were like, I guess it wouldn't be a problem. But that tells me that they are looking for a 250K guy, maybe 300K guy. All right. This is the only... The guy that I just selected there is the only guy who gets a date with this girl. This girl who says, I can't find the man I have an experience with. The guy I selected is her minimum. So let's see where that puts us on probability. According to statistical data, the probability of a guy of the US male population ages 34 to 40 meets your standards is 0.0088%. That is 0.016% of all white men in that age range. Delusion score, 5 out of 5. You don't belong on this planet. I love this website. So true. But I've not been exaggerating. The man I described is the only man who gets a date with this woman. Only man who gets a date with this woman. So, I mean, there you go. You ladies are fighting for 0.008% of the male population. And Aquanaut points out that the delusion score is in bags of cat litter. You're going to be a cat lady, woman. You're going to be a cat lady. A thing that I've not been following very much has come to an end. The jury in Alex Murdo's double murder trial reaches verdict in less than 3 hours. reached a verdict after less than 3 hours of deliberations. The panel's decision will determine whether Murdo, 54, is sent to prison, possibly for the rest of his life. Interesting. It's a quick decision, and so that might indicate that it's a finding of guilt. Normally, if there's disagreement, that's what will lead to non-guilt. And in this case, Murdo was found to have lied to the police, And he admitted this in trial. Basically, it's the story of his wife and one of his child being gunned down by a gun. The gun appeared to be a gun of the that is like one that was owned by the family. And there is audio recording that was putting him at the scene where Doug Kennel is and where the murders have happened. Alex Murdo's contention is that, and this is so bizarre as a case, because I think the thing that fascinates me is the hair on those people. This is the son of, this is the son of the guy, Alex Murdo. What the fuck is happening with those hair? And the father's hair are just as special and unique as the son's hair. Anyways, that was a bizarre thing to me. Look at this. Hair. Anyways, unrelated to the murder, but... So Alex Murdo was saying, I lied to the police, because Alex Murdo told the police he wasn't at the kennel where they got killed. And eventually, an audio recording revealed his voice. So, revealed that he was at the kennel. So, you have the jury here. They will be faced with the fact, okay, the gun is a gun that looks like one of the family, that the family had. The guy was at the murder scene, and he lied about being at the murder scene. Now, the whole theory that the defense has tried putting forward is, okay, he did lie that he was at the murder scene, but he's still not the murderer. The murderer would have been a drug dealer, a pill dealer that was giving pills to the family and to the wife, and that's who shot the wife and the kid. And their point was that the police didn't do their job properly. They didn't properly secure the scene, didn't get foot traces that could have helped them pursue this pill dealer rather than the father. I don't know what will happen. I think it's a very long shot for Alex Murdo to be pushing this, but I don't think it's impossible that the jury would find him not guilty. I haven't followed in detail enough, but it's a case where the circumstantial evidence puts him at the scene. He lied. This removes a lot of credibility from any defense he might come with. And it's like, if you are at the scene of the murder of your wife and some drug dealer has killed your wife, it seems you would want to be straightforward about all this. It seems that you would come to the police and say, hey, can you help me find this drug dealer who just killed my wife? It seems you wouldn't lie. So we'll see what happens. A massive fire has engulfed a skyscraper in Hong Kong. The 42-story hotel was under construction and was almost completely engulfed in flames. Look at this. It looks like a vagina from hell just opening up in the sky. It's like the devil is about to give birth. How do you get such a massive fire? Amalgam Zero says steel beam unmelted. Yeah, I guess that these things are in such solid steel that even this fire probably won't put down the building. It's probably whatever wood structure that they use to build the walls and the non-supportive lumber aspects that are really burning. Go away, says Jeff. But wait, one didn't collapse at free fall speed into its own footprint. I'm confused. You know, this whole 9/11 conspiracy stuff. You guys can speculate all you want. I don't have a strong position on it. Yeah, I understand that it's a 9/11 reference. I don't find it super impossible that a plane hitting a building chops a couple of pillars of support, and that the rest eventually crumbles out of the increased force that is on whatever is left supporting the building. I personally don't find it totally out there, and I'm not convinced by any of the argument that says this can't happen. But now they're talking to me about Building 7. But Building 7, JF. Maybe Building 7 was blown. I don't know. Maybe it was blown. Maybe it wasn't. I would like some guidance. I would like whoever is doing the official story on this. Can you prove to me what happened with Building 7? But I don't care all that much. See, they could have blown it. And I don't care all that much, to be honest. Showcasing the Bitcoin inscriptions craze in 6th chart. Apparently, there is a new way of interacting with the Bitcoin blockchain. Bitcoin ordinals. And in fact, since February 1st here up to February 11th, you can see the share of the block size be more and more occupied by those Bitcoin inscriptions. So you can send a message to the world forever by paying a little bit and including a Bitcoin inscription. I think I might do it. I don't know. Should I do it? What would I have? We can say something about the revolutionary phenotype. I think I could be interested at buying an ordinal. DK Shadow says I bought an ordinal. What is the cost? What is the cost of an ordinal? We could say something for the future about the revolutionary phenotype. Wouldn't that be funny? And perhaps I could work with you guys, the community, and launch a contest, and not necessarily a contest, but some kind of collective work suggesting various suggestions, and maybe you guys could vote. You guys could bring your own suggestions. Like, what do we tell the future about the great danger of genetic manipulation? It's just a transaction, no fee. They're not real NFTs. Okay. I thought there. So you pay the cost of a transaction. Or you don't. You say there's no fee. I'm sure there has to be a fee. An inscription will never be less than one sat. It doesn't cost that much to inscribe one. Well, I'll be searching about it. And I'll see what we could say to the future. I mean, think about what would you say to human beings in 1,000 years from now about the great danger of the path that they've taken and about how it's still time to revert it. NBC reporter goes to Crimea, shocks viewers by telling the truth. In a live segment, he admitted that it's not at all realistic Zelensky and Ukrainian forces can ever hope to take Crimea. that is very interesting, but of course I agree, and we all knew this, but Zelensky somehow, it's his demands to fight until they get back to Crimea, which will never happen. Dinerogovich says it was planned from a cave in Afghanistan. 3-minute video, Bill Cooper, just before 9/11. Milton William Bill Cooper, Hour of the Time radio broadcast. You guys are getting me into the conspiracy stuff that I have little care about.
You believe what you have been seeing on CNN today, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it? Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, his top lieutenants and colonels and generals in their hideout. This is a CNN reporter with a camera crew. And he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel. Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years, and can't find him. The FBI also, under the leadership of Louis Freeh, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years and years and years and many years, and can't find him. Some doofus, jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him. And you know what his budget is? Zip, zilch, nothing. Now, that tells us two things. Either everyone in the intelligence community and all of the intelligence agencies of the United States government are blithering idiots and incompetent fools, including
kind of
the entire apparatus of the FBI and all of their personnel, or they're lying to us. They're not looking for him at all. And the second is the truth. You see, the CIA created Osama bin Laden. They recruited him. They trained him. They found his leadership. They brought them all together. They showed them how to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. And when that was over, they still continued to fund him and train him. And they're now using him to help bring about world government by making him the big boogeyman, because they can't use Saddam Hussein anymore, because they needed a new boogeyman. A reporter from CNN and his little camera crew got in to Osama bin Laden's secret hideout and conducted an interview. If you don't believe me, tune into CNN. They're probably running it right now as I'm speaking. And if you believe it, you are one of the stupidest jerks that ever lived on the face of this earth. And whatever is going to happen that they're going to blame on Osama bin Laden, don't you even believe it.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, yeah, I don't. I think everything we've heard was interesting, good analysis. They said that he was shot by undercover cops at midnight and left to die on his front yard without receiving medical treatment. So he was shot on that very day where he said those words. Very interesting. No, I mean, clearly Osama bin Laden in this whole thing has been used as a scapegoat for a political program that clearly wasn't just a response to, oh my God, Osama bin Laden has attacked us, therefore let's do this or that. Clearly, there has been a use of Osama bin Laden. Whether 9/11 is an inside job or not, certainly Osama bin Laden has been used as a scapegoat for putting forward a political program that pre-existed and kind of didn't have much to do with Osama bin Laden. Go away, says JF. They killed him 1 month after 9/11. Okay, so it was after 9/11. All right. Aquanote says it's almost like Osama bin Laden was trained by the CIA. Well, I think this is established. In any case, finishing a couple of the news before we close the show. Dan Loeb takes passive stake in AMD, stock jumps. Let me tell you, I'm super excited about my AMD. I've been having this Ryzen simply out of the circumstances, because my old computer blew up, not repairable readily, at least for now. So I had to find a quick solution. AMD was cheaper, and I wanted to give a try. Ryzen 7 is delivering. It's better than my old computer. Super happy with it. Super happy with if AMD can come back to being a serious competitor to Intel and perhaps even undermining Intel eventually. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, you mentioned that evolution only keeps us alive long enough to raise children. How then do you explain species with very long longevity, such as some turtles, lobsters, and some trees? Well, you have to look at the lifestyle of these species. Are trees capable of continuing to produce seeds every year? Yes, they are. Trees are, as far as I can tell, they don't have a menopause. You see what I'm saying? So I would have to look into turtles, lobsters, or whatever, but my guess would be they stay alive because they can still make children. If you can still make children, evolution is going to work on your longevity. The inverse Jim Cramer ETF has officially arrived. So this has been existing for a while, but I think now it's official. Retail investors can purchase it. So you are betting that Jim Cramer is wrong about the stocks recommendations that he does. It's hilarious. It's not something I would invest in, simply because Jim Cramer eventually could do something malicious. You know, he could start recommending good stocks just to fuck up the people who have purchased the inverse Jim Cramer ETF. But I think Jim Cramer's business is very well settled into doing bad recommendations to the retail investors. So perhaps even with the Jim Cramer inverse ETF, perhaps he will just keep being bad. Go Away says, JF, cockatoos live 20 to 40 years in the wild, but in captivity can easily live 60 to 70 years. Humans are in captivity too. That does not matter. This is irrelevant. As always, your comments are irrelevant. Go away. Perhaps a shocking display, which I will close the show on. A sight that is not necessarily pleasant. So if you would like to turn off the show. But in terms of extension of boobs, from a biological perspective, I have rarely seen as much.
You like that? How's that?
Hell no.
Hey, dog! You like that? How's that?
Hell no. Thank you.